Welcome back. It's another week of SEC baseball action alongside Travis Brown. I'm Billy Derrick. Travis covers Texas A&M for the Bryan College Station Eagle for, of course, all things Texas A&M athletics, but specifically baseball right now. I know there's probably a lot of spring football buzz going on, basketball transfer portal stuff, but Travis, Vanderbilt and A&M should be fun this weekend. Top 10 matchup. And it wasn't kind. College Station was not kind to Vanderbilt last time they made the trip out there in 2019. Should be an interesting weekend. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, anytime.
Let's start with this team. Of course, Texas A&M under Jim Schlossnagel has kind of steadied the ship. You know, he's kind of come in and he's done just fine. And even this offseason, you get bring in a guy like a Braden Montgomery. And you've got all kinds of offensive power that is up there with the likes of best teams in the country. So what have you seen specifically from this team that makes them an Omaha contender and maybe even a national championship contender?
Yeah, this is one of the best hitting teams I've ever covered, especially that top four, five of the lineup. I mean, they have four guys at the top of the lineup who are, at least as of a week ago, hitting above 400 in with runners in scoring position, can always seem to find that clutch hit. You have Jace LaViolette and Braden Montgomery who are up there kind of challenging Condon and from Georgia in the home run race, and they're challenging each other for the team home run race going. So it's just one of the best hitting teams that I've seen. Now, A&M swung their way to the College World Series 2 years ago in Jim Schlossnagel's first season, and weren't quite as good hitting, but they were a good hitting team that year. But they had no pitching, and it's really the emergence of some of these pitchers that's actually been one of the biggest storylines for A&M, especially Ryan Prager, the Friday night starter, who is coming off a year of Tommy John surgery and has just mowed through the majority of his starts this season. So it's as complete. I wouldn't say it's a fully complete team. There's still some questions to be answered, but it's as complete of a team that A&M has had since Jim Schlossnagel's been in Aggieland.
Let's talk more about that pitching. You mentioned Ryan Prager, who is up there with one of the best in the conference statistically this season. And you got to have that dog, that bulldog up front, especially in the SEC. Having that Friday night guy is so big. Who are some of the other guys? And rotation-wise, do they have three guys set? Has that been set here in the last few weekends? And do you know, has it been announced yet for this weekend?
Yeah, we're actually going to talk to Schlossnagel here in about 30 minutes or so. So we'll get that answered here quickly on the rotation. But I would expect it to be the same as it's been for the majority of the season, and that's Prager going into Tanner Jones, and then Justin Lampkin finishing it out. The season started the first series. Tanner Jones wasn't ready, had a little bit of a back issue. And so they went Prager, Sadeo, and Lampkin, Shane Sadeo. But that was a three-lefty rotation, not something that Jim Schlossnagel has typically liked to do. He likes to mix it up, go lefty-righty-lefty or righty-lefty-righty. When he has a rotation and has those options available to him. So they've entered Tanner Jones. Lampkin and Prager have been the more consistent of the two. Of course, Prager being extremely consistent. Tanner Jones has been a little bit up and down, but it sounds like that's where they're going to stick because the other options would be Sadeo, Chris Cortez, and those guys Schlossnagel really has liked having out of the bullpen as kind of long relief guys, or even Cortez kind of coming in at the end of the games with the power that he throws. So those are the main. Oh, and then their number one go-to out of the pen is Evan Aschenbeck, not necessarily power arm, but a guy who consistently hits the strike zone and gets guys out. And so you'll probably see him. If he comes in the game, he's going to close out as many innings as he possibly can in a game and finish the game out, usually because he's so consistent. So that's kind of the main pitching names out there. You have Brad Rudess, who will probably make an appearance for a couple innings, Josh Stewart who make a couple inning appearance, Brock Peary, some of these guys, but those have been some of the less consistent arms. Those first guys are the guys that are you're guaranteed to see in the series this weekend.
Let's go back to the first SEC series of the season for Texas A&M. They go down to Gainesville, obviously play a talented Florida team, but a team that's 17-14 right now. But at the time of this series, you know, that wasn't a loss you could really shake your head at if you're Texas A&M. But all of a sudden now, you know, Florida seemingly loses every midweek, and they got swept by Missouri last week. I know that was, what, 4 or 5 weeks ago already, but what went wrong for A&M? I know it was on the road. It's hard to win in the SEC on the road. But I guess what did Florida do to create pressure on A&M, and why, I guess, why did they have success that weekend against the Aggies?
Yeah, I know. I'll be honest. I was actually at the SEC basketball tournament during that series, so I was kind of keeping a side eye on the series as it was going on. But I know Ryan Prager had probably his worst start of the season. Up until that game, he hadn't allowed a run, a home run, and they took him deep a couple times in that game, if I'm not mistaken. The starting pitching just wasn't consistent for A&M in that series, and it was going to be a little bit of an offensive battle, and they couldn't necessarily get that. They couldn't swing their way to the win. So it was an somewhat uncharacteristic pitching performance for A&M in that series against Florida.
They go to Starkville and take 2 out of 3 from Mississippi State, and then they sweep Auburn at home. Auburn's I still think is a solid Auburn team. Vanderbilt also swept Auburn at home. And then this past weekend, which I think is a really impressive series win for the Aggies in Founders Park in Columbia, beating South Carolina. South Carolina was able to take one, that Sunday game. But A&M, I mean, what in these SEC series, did you learn anything about this team, you know, throughout these series, you know, even after some of the non-conference, and specifically with South Carolina? Like what did South Carolina do in game 3 to kind of salvage there? And I guess what I'm trying to get at is, you know, when A&M loses, what are maybe some of the reasons? Because it doesn't happen often.
Yeah, it usually comes down to pitching. That was one of Justin Lampkin's worst outings of the year. Gave up, I believe, a couple of home runs and just wasn't as consistent in finding the strike zone. You know, last season, A&M's, they had a decent offense. It was, again, the pitching that kind of held them back. And especially last year, it was issuing too many free bases, whether it be hit batters, walks, or even some steals, letting some guys get in, wild pitches, just kind of those kind of things. And that kind of crept back in a little bit in some of those losses when they do, you know. In the SEC, guys are going to hit solo home runs. You can have the best pitcher in the conference, and he's going to get taken deep a few times in the season. Mm-hmm. But it's usually about mitigating the damage in front of that guy. You don't want to issue walks, hit batters, things like that to make a solo shot into a 2 or 3 run home run. And usually when A&M loses, it's because they're inconsistent on the strike zone and issuing too many free passes that turn home runs into multiple run at bats.
All right, we got our background info on the Aggies. Let's turn our attention to this weekend, which I think is the best series, maybe even in the country, definitely in the SEC. And only one of them, of course, is on national TV. Well, not even national TV, SEC Network, which I think is a college baseball issue. Anyway, the atmosphere this weekend should be great. And I did see, I think this was a tweet from you, that renovations are coming soon, which is going to be really cool there to Bluebell Park. But give me some of the background. I haven't been out there, and it is a tough trip from Nashville, and it's going to be a tough atmosphere to play in for this Vanderbilt team. But kind of paint the picture for me. What's it like covering a game there? What is the fan base culture like there? Is it similar to football where obviously not as many people, but you do have the bubbles going on and everything. So kind of paint the picture for me of what a game is like there at Bluebell Park.
Yeah, it's kind of quirky. They have a real quirky, the Raggies, section 203 up in the upper deck is the kind of fan, the main rowdy section of the baseball. They have their own traditions, their own, not like the yells that you hear at football, but their own little goofy chants and things like that. They love to get on opposing teams. They're right over the visiting dugout. They'll yell at the opposing first base coach to get in at the coach's box if he's not standing there. Just kind of quirky little things that they've developed over the years, and will all constantly be on the pitcher chanting his name and things like that. And of course, there's the ball five chant that so many other people have taken on. So there are many fan bases where if a pitcher throws four straight balls in a row, they'll start chanting ball five and go up. Mm-hmm. The ballpark, the right, literally just feet over the right field wall is train tracks that trains go by constantly. And so a pitcher might be releasing a pitch right when the train blows its horn, and the fans will kind of always play a game of holding up the many fingers as they think engines are going to be on the train. It's a very unique atmosphere, and in a really good way. It's a cool college baseball atmosphere. And one that's can be pretty, especially it's really kind of interesting and unique to see when you get a midweek game of a directional school come in who doesn't see that kind of fan support. Mm-hmm. And they get all on top of a pitcher or some hitters, and you can tell it affects those guys and gets in their head a little bit. So it's a pretty fun place to watch a baseball game.
Yeah, and it should be fun this weekend, especially anytime you get a top 10 team in there. I'm sure it's even more fun. But last time Vanderbilt went out there, they lost 2-3, and there's even a story about their flight being delayed, and Corbin has talked about how unhappy he was about that, and there's other stories, other accounts of it, and how Vanderbilt, and that was early in the season. Of course, later they end up winning the national title, but that's how things can change. And, you know, even if, say, one of these teams gets swept, it's not the end of it for either of these teams. But what do you look at? I'm not sure how much of a look you've gotten at Vanderbilt. Obviously, the pitching is strong, but offensively, they're not as power-heavy, as home-run-heavy, or reliant as A&M. How do you see this matchup this weekend shaping up?
Yeah, that's this year in the SEC, and I know this is a little bit cliche, but I think it's really the case in this year. That margin is so thin. I mean, mm-hmm. we were talking about that Auburn team. That Auburn team has every right to has top 25 talent on their team for sure, but they're getting beat up through the SEC just because of the parity and the amount of talent that's in this conference, especially this year. As it's kind of like basketball, that it's just older than it usually is, and it's a lot of experience. And so I think you're seeing that on the field. So it's kind of like nothing is really will surprise me, especially this weekend against two really, really good SEC teams. The little bit of an X factor that I didn't mention about Bluebell is that if the wind is coming from the south, which it almost always is at this point in the season, it is a home run derby park. I mean, Jackson Appel, A&M's catcher, he bats cleanup, but he is not a power hitter. They have all their power hitters in front of him. He's just a really good contact hitter, so that they know if they get guys on, he's going to move them around. He just reached out and poked three opposite field home runs against who did they play on Tuesday? UTSA. Yeah. And he came into the season with three home runs, just poked the ball out there, got it into the jet stream, and all three went out, including the walk-off winner in the bottom of the ninth. So, I mean, you can, if you're a hitter, you can get okay contact on it sometimes and watch it sail into the scoreboard or into left field at Bluebell Park. So that's always an X factor. Pitchers got to keep the ball low and got to mitigate the traffic on the bases. And that can be the biggest X factor. So I will admit I haven't looked as much into Vanderbilt yet as I was going to for this weekend, but I know that anybody can come in and swing and hit for power in Bluebell because of the way it's built and the kind of jet stream it has. The biggest test for A&M is going to see how that pitching is continuing to develop and grow into being consistent. I think Prager is, of course, going to be consistent. You're going to have Auschenbeck, who's going to be consistent and throw strikes and get outs. But beyond that, it could be a little bit of a question mark. And the X factor for A&M is if those guys can throw strikes and keep the ball in the ballpark.
That's Travis Brown from the, is it the Bryan College Station Eagle? Is that what it is? Or college?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. There we go. The Bryan College Station Eagle.
We have a little Twin City kind of action thing going down here in this part of Texas where Bryan's the county seat, but College Station's now kind of the bigger town. And there, I mean, you wouldn't know that you drove from one into the other. So it is Bryan College Station down here.
I like it. I got to get out there. That's a fun trip. And obviously it's going to be tough this weekend for Vanderbilt. I'm excited for Carter Holt and Ryan Prager. You'll be there, I would assume, and get to see a couple of really good pitchers going at it. It's going to be fun this weekend. But Travis, thank you so much for taking the time and enjoy this series.
You got it.